upon His people. I like to be favored. I think probably everybody likes to be favored at some time, just a little bit every now and then. And I like to be favored by God. I want to be favored by God. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, now God treats everybody the same, and that's true. Acts chapter 10, verse 34, the Bible says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.'" God has no favorites. He treats everybody the same. That means that if the good hand of God was on Ezra, the good hand of God can be on you and me, because He treats everybody the same. So I want to see how that will happen. I got to thinking about that when I read that phrase, how's that going to happen? And the very next verse answers the question. Verse 10. "For Ezra had prepared his heart to speak the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." I very seldom talk about a formula because I don't think there are a lot of formulas in the Scripture. There's no formula for answered prayer. There's no formula for things. But here's the formula for God's good hand to be on you. First of all, we should study the Word of God. It said, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord." In verse 6, the Bible calls Ezra a ready scribe. Ready means skilled. He was skilled in the law of the Lord. He was skilled in the Word of God. He knew it. As a matter of fact, tradition says, if you can imagine this, tradition says that Ezra had memorized the law of God, the Mosaic law that we read through back in the earlier, in the first five books of the Old Testament. Ezra had memorized that, and he could write it down just from recall in his memory. Isn't that amazing? I can memorize some verses in the New Testament. They're a little easier to do, but I got to tell you, if I had to memorize the law of God, I'm not even sure I could say all the Ten Commandments, at least not in order. But tradition says that he had memorized the law of God. I know you've heard me say this before, but Christians should study the Word of God. Now, of course, then always the question is, what is the Word of God? Well, the Bible is the Word of God. It says on the front, Holy Bible. This is the Word of God. Now, I know there are some different translations. There's the King James, which is what this is. There's the New King James. There's the NIV. There's some other translations. But this is the Word of God. I know it was written by men, physically written by men, but those men were inspired by God to write the very words that they wrote. I believe in the plenary verbal inspiration of Scripture. Some people believe in a conceptual inspiration, which means just simply means that God inspired the men with the concepts of Scripture and then let them write it out any way they wanted to. I don't believe that. I believe in the plenary, the very words written. God inspired each and every word written. This is the Word of God. Now, I want to tell you, we need to study the Word of God. It's complete and it's true. I know there are different translations. I'll be honest with you, as long as you're reading a translation, you're in a pretty good situation. I like the King James Version. I've grown up with it. I know the New King James Version is a little bit easier to read. It takes out some of the she's and the these and puts in you and things like that. But I'm going to warn you about the paraphrases. Can I do that? If you're reading a paraphrased, look in the front of your Bible, whatever it is, and if it says it's a paraphrase of the Scripture, close that thing up, put it aside, use it occasionally to study with, but find you a translation. Amen. Of the Word of God and read that. This is the Word of God. This is truth. John 17:17 says, these are the words of Jesus. He said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." This is the truth, and we need to know it, so we need to study it. Psalm 119:105, the Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It lights our way. It directs our path. We need to know it. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Man, if it can do that, we need to know it. 1 Peter 1:25 says, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever." If it's everlasting, and it is, we need to know it. We're even commanded by the word to study the word. You know this scripture, 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So we're to study the word of truth, and the word of truth is the word of God, the Bible. I want you to notice in verse 10, the first few words of verse 10, it says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart." Ezra intentionally studied the word of God. Listen, you don't memorize the law of Moses accidentally. You do that intentionally. And so we need to be intentional. The good hand of God was on Ezra because he intentionally studied and learned the word of God. I'll just tell you, I believe this. Every Christian should have a time every day set aside, intentionally set aside a time every day. I don't care if it's 5 minutes or an hour, where we read and study and learn the Word of God. When I was in college, I had devotions when I was in college, private devotions. I don't know what to call them, my devotions. And there was an older gentleman that came. He was the pastor of a church in McAllister, and he came 3 days a week to school and spent a couple of nights there on campus. And because I had a dorm room all to myself, oh man, it was nice. But two nights a week, this guy stayed in my room because I had a room all to myself. His name was Jerry. He was the pastor of a church, Free Will Baptist Church. And the first morning or two that he was there, I got up and turned my light on and I began to read my Bible. And after two or three days of that, a couple of weeks of that, he was there a couple of nights. He said, "What are you doing?" I thought it was pretty obvious. I said, "I'm reading, I'm having my devotions." He said, "You do that every day?" I said, "Yeah." "This is a pastor now." He said, "Boy, that's impressive." I was surprised. I didn't think it was that impressive. I still don't. Doesn't every Christian read the Bible every day? Shouldn't every Christian? You eat every day, don't you? Even if you're on a diet, you nibble on a little something every day. You breathe every day, don't you? Shouldn't every Christian read the Word of Life every day? I have people tell me, "Oh, well, it's hard to read." You bet it's hard to read. The only way it's going to get easier is if you do it. "Well, I can't understand it." Well, that's the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. He illuminates us. He gives us understanding of the Word of God. Listen, read it. Learn it. Memorize some of it. See, that's okay. Put it in your brain so that when you live your life, the Word of God comes out. Ezra's, the good hand of God was on Ezra because he had prepared his heart to seek the law of God. He intentionally studied the Word of God. The next thing is that Ezra obeyed the Word of God. Now, this is where it gets a little trickier. We can read the Bible pretty good. We can even memorize some of the verses pretty good. But look again at verse 10. "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it." It's not enough to know the Word of God. We need to obey the Word of God. The Bible says that in order to become a Christian, we must confess our sins and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, we can know that. We can have the knowledge, the information. We can know that. But until we do that, we're not a Christian. The Bible talks about the peace and the joy that comes from serving God, from obeying the Word of God. We can know that, we can have that information, but until we do that, we won't experience the peace and the joy that comes from obeying the Word of God. Blessings don't come from knowledge. Blessings come from obedience. We need to obey the Word of God. James 1, verses 22 through 25. The Bible says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein," that's the word of God, "he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Sometimes we read the Bible, and because we're reading the Scripture and we're getting information from the Holy Spirit about what the Scripture means, we see that there's something in our lives that we need to change, something we need to do differently, or something we need to stop doing, or something we need to start doing, whatever it is. We see that, but we don't do it. We don't make that change immediately, and then we go on about our lives and our days, and we forget. And we become a forgetful hearer and not a doer of the Word. Sometimes we'll come to church and we'll come to Sunday school and we'll hear a lesson or we'll hear a sermon taught or whatever it might be, and we understand, that's from the Word of God and I need to make a change. I need to do some things differently, but we don't do it immediately and we leave and we forget. And we don't do it. We become a forgetful hearer and not a doer of the Word. And the Bible says, don't do that. Don't be just a hearer, be a doer. And then there's a little bit more. James chapter 2, verses 10 and 11 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, 'Do not commit adultery,' said also, 'Do not kill.' Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law." You know what I've noticed? I'm guilty like everybody else. This is my confession Sunday. We have a tendency to hold other people, especially we have a tendency to hold other Christians to a higher standard than we hold ourselves to. We sort of gauge our own lives, maybe our own spiritual lives. I don't know how you want to say it, but it seems like we sort of gauge our obedience to God on a percentage basis. Well, if I'm obedient to 75% of the Bible, that's good enough. I believe that'll let me squeak in to the pearly gates. If I'm obedient to 80%, 90% of the Bible, man, God's probably patting me on the back. Can you imagine that? 90% obedience? Wow. And yet the Bible says, if you're guilty of one point, you're guilty of all. The Bible calls for 100% obedience to the Word of God. Now, I know that's tough. I tell you, I understand that. And every time I get to talking about something like this, even close to this, I know Christians aren't perfect. I had a guy tell me one time, I was preaching a sermon and I said something about living a life without sin, not sinning, that Christians are supposed to try not to sin. And he told me later that he was so discouraged by that, because every now and then he would commit a sin, and it just seemed like sometime, no matter what he did, he would commit a sin, and he'd pray and ask God to forgive him, but he was just discouraged because I said Christians weren't supposed to sin. Listen, I understand that Christians are not perfect. I am not perfect. But Ezra had prepared his heart. He intentionally made the effort to be 100% obedient to the Word of God. That's what we need to do. We need to be intentional in making every effort to obey all of the Word of God. Yes, we will probably fail now and then, and when we do, we ask God to forgive us, and He does. But that doesn't stop us from making the effort to be intentional to obey 100% of the Word of God. We expect other Christians to be 100% obedient, right? We're quick to point out when they're not. Boy, if they're 99, we're quick to point out that 1%. Well, let's be intentional. And let's obey 100% of the Word of God. Ezra knew the Word. Ezra obeyed the Word. And because he was because he knew the Word and obeyed the Word, the good hand of God was on him. And then finally, Ezra taught the Word of God. If we want the good hand of God on us, we need to teach the Word of God. Again, verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Ezra taught the Word of God. He was a ready scribe. He was a skilled scribe. He knew it, and so he told others. He taught others. The people of Israel had been in captivity for so long that they didn't know how to worship God. They hadn't had a temple or a synagogue or whatever you want to call it for so long that they weren't sure of the procedure. They weren't sure how to make the sacrifices. They weren't sure what to do. They weren't sure about the songs of praise to sing. They just didn't know, and they needed somebody to instruct them. And Ezra knew, so Ezra taught the Word of God. Christians, we need to teach the Word of God to others. Now, in order to teach it, we have to know it. That's step one. We have to read and study and learn the Word of God. And then we need to tell others. To teach is to tell. There's a little phrase, a little short phrase in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, and it says, "For all men have not faith." Now, that means not everybody's a Christian. That should be painfully obvious when we look at the world around us. But sometimes we have a tendency to forget. Not everybody's a Christian. People need to hear about Jesus Christ. We need to tell people about Jesus Christ. Right here in Blackwell, Oklahoma, when you came to church this morning, you drove by, I don't know how far you came from, but wherever you came from, you drove by house after house after house that had people in it who are not saved. People in it who are bound for eternity in hell. People in it who need to hear about Jesus, and if we don't tell them, who's going to do it? See, it's our job. It's our privilege. Part of the good hand of God on His people is not just God's blessings, it's being used in God's service. Ezra was being used by God to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, to rebuild Jerusalem, to instruct the people in the worship of God. The good hand of God on Ezra was for his service. Yes, he got blessings as he did it. And yes, God made the king and other people yield to what Ezra wanted and gave Ezra the things that he needed. But the greatest blessing that Ezra received was to be used of God in his service. That's the good hand of God on his people. When I came in this morning, I was thinking a little bit about the message and some of the things that I was going to talk about. And when I drove by this morning, I just happened to drive by a house. And there was a gentleman, I don't know his name, don't know who he is, but he was standing outside and he was working on the yard or something, I don't know. Clearly had no intention of going to church this morning. Probably he's not a Christian. And I drove right by him. And you know what? I come the same way to church every Sunday morning. I drive by his house every Sunday morning. You do the same thing. Lost. We've got to tell people about Jesus. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. "And he," Jesus, "said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We read that was one of the Great Commission scriptures, and we read that and we hear that phrase, all the world, and in Acts we talk about Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth, and we think about sending missionaries, and sometimes we might even pray and ask God if he wants us to go as a missionary, and then we're relieved when he says no. But we'll give a little money each month to send the missionary to the foreign country when right across the street from where we live, across the alley, next door, there's somebody who doesn't know Jesus. And we won't take the time to tell them about Jesus. All the world begins with where you are and the people who are around you. And we need to teach them the Word of God. Part of teaching is telling, and part of teaching is showing by example. So listen, Christian, we need to live the Christian life. We need to show people what it means to be a Christian. I want to tell you that the unsaved world is so confused. Bless their hearts. They hear the politicians and they hear the news media talk about Christians. And the things they say about Christianity and about Christians is so confused and so messed up and so wrong. It's so incorrect. The world has no idea what it means to be a Christian. We must show them. Again, if we don't do it, who will? The good hand of God was on Ezra because he studied the Word of God, because he obeyed the Word of God, and because he taught and lived the Word of God. God is no respecter of persons, and if you'll do those three things, the good hand of God will be on you for service and for blessing. Would you stand with me this morning? Sheriff, you'll come and just play a song.